It's Friday night, open lines. You know what that means. And Brad Olson is going to hang out and man the phones with me over the next hour. And you can also get your questions in on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Jay Church Radio. Simple enough. Get your questions or comments in, and I'll get them over to Brad in this next segment. Sitting in for George Norrie, this is Jimmy Church. More with Brad and your phone calls next. All right, Friday night, open lines. We've got Brad Olson here. Everything is fake. Conspiracy is the new normal. He's a publisher, CCC Publishing, and the links are over at coasttocoastam.com, and go and check it out. Now, manning the phones, and I got to tell you, Brad, we're jammed up here, so I'm just going to go in order. Let's go with Lori, first-time caller line in Greenville, South Carolina. Lori, you're up next on Coast.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, you're next.
Hi. Okay. Am I on now?
You're on right now, Lori.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Brad, my question to you, first of all, I'm also an author, but that's not why I'm calling. I do paranormal and afterlife. But my question to you is, you were mentioning about the government not disclosing the activity with aliens here on this earth. Since our whole global, every country is kind of religiously based, how do you feel that information would affect or change our traditional values and the way that religion is viewed globally?
Great question, Lori. And I'll say this, Brad, that is the leading question, isn't it?
That is a great question. You beat me to it. Because absolutely, church has been so fundamental in this country. Around the world, organized religion has such a tight control over people. And yeah, what would alien disclosure do? Well, it wouldn't make God so omnipotent now, would it? It would certainly deteriorate some of the teachings that we've taken to be the Word of God, and would certainly make it less relevant in a world post-disclosure. There's no doubt about it that the religious leaders of the world are not only privy to the information that we're not alone, but are active in keeping this muffled up and keeping disclosure from happening in such a way that they can't ease it in. And of course, we know that the Vatican has a telescope, which they named Lucifer, and Vatican even has their own astronomer who has made very poignant remarks suggesting that they know darn well that intelligent life has been coming here and are probably preparing in the same way the government is in drip, 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 feeding us little bits of information to prepare us for the eventual disclosure.
Well, it does seem that the Vatican has tried to stay out and in front of this story and has tried to maintain control.
Right, and saying that if there is intelligent life, that they could be baptized. They're not excluding themselves from this big picture here because they know that they have to stay relevant.
Yeah, you know, they did, Galileo house arrest, right?
Yeah.
And with a complete about face, now they have their own telescopes. So there you go. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting situation they find themselves in. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Steven, right here in Los Angeles. Steven, you're up next. Steven? Okay, let's go to the next caller. I'm just going to take these in order. And let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Let's go out on the East Coast. Mike, you're up next on Coast.
Good morning, Jimmy. I see you on Ancient Aliens now and then when I watch the program. I don't know where to start.
That's okay, Mike.
Let's start with the news. I watch 5 minutes of local news every night, and that's about it. I can't take anything else off the networks, CNN or any of this other mumbo-jumbo they're feeding us. What do you think about it?
It's becoming more and more unpalatable, that's for sure.
I got one comment to make about North Korea. I think we've got them under the microscope, and I really think we have some assets upstairs, meaning up in space, we could use if we need them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, two great points. And Brad, what do you think about that, assets in space? Do you think that we've just held off of, you know, shooting down the missiles or taking them out when they're on the silos or the nuclear program itself because we want to see how far along that they, you know, the technology has progressed?
Well, certainly you don't want to play your hand unless you absolutely have to. And we saw this new MOAB bomb, this largest explosive device outside of a nuclear bomb in Afghanistan a few days. Kind of think that was a distraction to get us away from Syria. They know darn well that the American attention span is about 72 seconds before we get shocked again into the next big phase. But I would say that North Korea is a very dangerous situation, and they just showed North Korea showed their hand that they have nuclear submarines. And what that means is they could sneak up on us and just come right offshore and do something. So I hope cooler heads prevail with North Korea, and this is just saber rattling, and nothing starts a regional war over there. It could be very disastrous.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Mike, and just a great question. Let's go to, I think we have Steve now. Steve in Los Angeles, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Jimmy and Brad, how you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Okay, you hear me. Good. You know, my opinion is none of this stuff is happening by accident. And it's all by design. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, they watch the Kardashians and that keeps them distracted. Some people, well, the big rage right now is these apocalyptic shows like The Last Ship, you know, people, that's what they watch. And then there's the truth seekers, you know, and they watch the news. And, you know, I noticed this during the election process. My statement was that the media overplayed their hand. And what would happen was every time Hillary's camp would get in trouble somewhere, the news would come out and transpose that onto the Trump campaign. Like Hillary would fall out at 9/11, and the big story on the news was Trump is not fit physically to be the president. You know, and that was over and over again. They even hit on the Russian conspiracy thing a little bit without it really getting heavy during the election process, and they came back to that later, and that's been the real big one now, okay? So, but the point of this is not a grand deception, and that's what I think people think. It's a grand deception, but it's not. It's a grand diversion, and this is keeping the truth seekers, a diversion for the truth seekers, pardon me, because the one thing that they don't want, I'm not worried about North Korea doing anything, that ain't gonna happen. Trump went over and bombed that airfield. It was operational that morning. This is all smoke and mirrors and diversion. It's a great show. And really what it is to keep people occupied because there's something else coming. There's a reason that the money disappeared under the 9/11 buildings. There's a reason that the Pentagon's accounting office got wiped out when the day before they were in court asking, where is trillions of dollars? There's a reason why all this money is being spent, black ops, these underground facilities are being built for these people. There's something coming. There's something wicked this way comes. Let me put it that way.
I totally agree, Steve. Let me jump in here. Brad, is that part of the disinformation, is deflection and deception? It's all part of the same formula, isn't it?
Oh, you know it. Great question, Steve. I'm glad you came back on and made those observations because he's absolutely right. All these stupid shows you see on TV, it's just the perfect distraction from what's really going on in sports, too. Where does it get us at the end of the day if you memorize stats? I mean, and sure, it's fun. It's kind of like eating popcorn. Tastes great, but really not a whole lot of nutritional value.
Well, it goes back to the Romans and the Colosseum. Oh, yeah. You know, that's opium for the masses, isn't it?
Well, that's Karl Marx, but bread and circuses for the people.
That's right. Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Sean in Farmington, Missouri. Sean, you're up next on Coast.
All right. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Brad.
Hey. Hey, Sean.
How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good, Sean. What's on your mind?
Jimmy, Brad, I've studied the JFK assassination for close to 20 years, and I'm a fairly young man. I'm only 40 years old. And, I'm studied something about the where CBS had breaking news. There was a soap opera on, and they come in breaking news minutes after the assassination, and they said there's three shots fired. You know, they're talking about three shots fired while the cops are still looking at gun smoke.
Right.
You know, and George is always talking about how seeking the truth can affect people's lives and stuff like that. Well, people like Jim Garrison, the media made him out to be a loon, you know. Robert Grodin, Dallas Steel is harassing him. He's went through like 11 lawsuits in the city of Dallas. They changed all this stuff down there on Simmons Freeway. There's, you know, they're slowly getting rid of history. And it does kind of coincide when any, you know, like Trump, I think he's an honest man. He's a rich man. He has nothing to gain to be president. And it scares them. It scares the status quo. And, you know, that's what the media, they're going crazy right now because they can't control him.
Well, why do you say that, Sean? Is it because they feel that he's his own person? And I'm talking about the cabal, you know, the deep state who are running things behind the scenes. Are you referring that they feel that they don't have any control of the situation?
We know who they are sometimes, you know, like CBS, when I said that they came out minutes after Kennedy was shot in the head.
Okay, Sean, I'm sorry to say that your call has dropped out. And so there you go. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Todd in Seattle. Todd, you're up next on Coast.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed your talk so far, and I want to say you guys are true skeptics. And I'd like to ask you about the Skeptical Inquirer group. Now, I enjoy some of the things they do, whether it be Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, you know. But in terms of their heavy-duty, you know, continuous discrediting of UFO research, right? Like there's the classic case of Philip J. Klass and Stanton Friedman. You know, I used to think Philip Klass was a real, you know, head and shoulders guy, and it seems as if Stanton Friedman has really, you know, won out in the argument. And I just like to know if you feel that these psychop people are honest investigators, or you think they're on some kind of payroll.
Thank you for the phone call, Todd. Hey, Brad, let me ask you this. When it comes to, this is my take, and I'm not going to name names when it comes to that particular group, but the hardcore skeptics out there and debunkers will just say the answer is no.
Right.
Right. That no proof. No, no, no. The answer is just no. On the flip side, when it comes to ufology, we have I've seen what I've seen. We've had videos, eyewitness testimony, radar, government specialists, astronauts. We have all of the evidence on our side. And it is funny to me to have a skeptic just go, well, you know, no, they don't exist. You know, you're nuts. You're nuts. It's your imagination. Mm. And it's just funny to me. They think that it upsets us or it upsets me. It doesn't. I find it humorous. What do you say about that?
Well, ignorance is bliss sometimes when you don't want to look at a subject for what it really is. And I think they conveniently disregard the millions of people who have had sightings because only one of them needs to be correct to make this the most game-changing subject in the world. And they don't want to do that. It's been said that every group, especially in the ufology field, has been infiltrated and they have agents who just basically like to muddy the water.
Sure, and it does occur.
Yeah, the PSYOPs.
Yes.
We know it occurs.
It does.
It's been released, and if you do your homework, it's quite obvious that there is a concerted effort to keep us divided, to put out things like the Flat Earth, so we argue about that, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But if you stay true to your goals and you really look at this stuff and you stay skeptical, and I used to be a subscriber to the Skeptical Inquirer. I'm all about that. I love challenging every single viewpoint.
And you have to.
You absolutely have to. You cannot be a researcher if you don't.
That's right.
And to be really strong with integrity in this field, you have to have some thick skin. Like you said, we get criticized all the time, and it's kind of humorous. And, okay, you don't believe it. Well, knock yourself out with whatever you do believe in.
Yeah, anybody that's involved with that organization, that publication, come hang out with. If they would have been with us at Contact in the Desert last year for that sighting, I would love for somebody to walk away and go, you know, that that's your imagination. No, it just doesn't work that way. And that's why I respect you so much, Brad. We got to take a break right here. But when we come back, we're going to take some more phone calls. And okay, he's back on the line. Okay, let's go to Wayne in Chicago. Wayne, you're up next on Coast.
Jimmy Church, my man.
How are you, Wayne?
How are you? Jimmy, I cannot thank you enough for having this guest on today. I've been calling different radio shows, talking to talk show hosts, trying to let them know this is a false flag. What I want to do right quick is compare your guest, what he thinks happened in Syria, and then don't hang up on me, Jimmy. I want to say what I think happened. I bet you the exact same thing.
Okay, well, Wayne, we're going to hit a break here in a second, so let me flip this to Brad really quick. Brad?
Well, let's face it. The U.S. has been at war, 224 out of the 241 years since 1776? That's our business, is to create arms and get into the business of war. That's what we do. A lot of people don't want to admit it, but if you look at the facts, it's what it is. We're controlled by a banking cartel that has funded both sides of every single war since Napoleon. And by doing so, they're systematically destabilizing other countries to increase corporate profits while seizing control of their natural resources. That's what it's all about.
There you go. Wayne, you have 30 seconds to respond.
Yeah, well, no, I wanted to know specifically what he thought happened in Syria, but he's absolutely correct. No doubt about it. Thank you, Jimmy, for your guess.
Yeah, there you go, Wayne. Thank you. Well, see, the thing is, when it comes to Syria, and I want to go back, and Wayne, I hope you're listening. When it comes to Syria, we don't know. I really mean this earlier when I said, I meant this earlier when I said, we don't. So many players could have had a reason to do that false flag.
Yeah.
Anybody on both sides of the coin. We don't know. I wasn't there, right? The media wasn't there. The testing hasn't been. We just don't know. And that's what scares me the most. We just don't know.
Just real quickly, Jimmy, in the introduction to my book, Modern Esoteric, I make a point of saying, be aware of stories, the stories that we're told. And that's what the news does so well. They just give us these stories. You and I weren't in Syria. We don't know that. We have to believe the story that we're told.
And that's exactly the point, Brad. Thank you so much, Coast to Coast AM. More with Brad and your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM on May 6th, 2017. You can join George, Nori, and friends live on stage right here in the San Fernando Valley. The Plaza del Sol Performance Hall, California State University, Northridge. George's guests this year will be Dr. Bruce Goldberg, Danian Brinkley, and Whitley Strieber. And there's going to be a meet and greet following the show. All right, tickets and info over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Open lines tonight. Brad Olson is the guest, and your phone calls are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. The May 6th date information was incorrect. It will announce the actual date for the Everett show here in the next break. Our guest tonight, Brad Olson. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We're taking phone calls. It's Friday night. Next up, Brad, are you ready? Let's go to Larry in San Jose. Larry, you're up next on Coast.
Hi. I don't know if you guys covered this or not. I tuned in a little late, but I know you're talking about fake news. And do you know that the NDAA has in 2012 they changed the law to make legal. They made false flags legal and propaganda legal in the United States against U.S. citizens?
Yeah, I know about that. Among other things, they also took away our right to trial and said that they could incarcerate us indefinitely without a trial or a lawyer. I think the NDAA, which was signed into law on New Year's Eve 2012, was one of the worst laws that have been enacted in modern times.
Yeah, and Brad, when you read the NDAA, it doesn't seem like that would be legal.
It doesn't seem like it'd be legal. But everything they're doing to us is legal. That's what people really need to understand. Even the spraying of our skies is completely legal, even if it causes death or destruction to the environment. It's legal, and there was a law that was actually passed to make it that way. So this goes real deep. I wish we had more time to get into some of these subjects, but what we're being fed is the basic, I call it anti-human depopulation agenda on some of these things, such as the GMOs in our food, the fluoride in our water, vaccines, chemtrails. It goes on and on because none of it makes any sense unless you look at it through the lens of a depopulation agenda, and it's downright scary when you do.
Right. Let's go to the first-time caller line, John in Michigan. John, you're up next on Coast.
Yeah, this call's for Brad. I wanted to talk about that fake news. Now, I'm 58, and I watched Kennedy get shot on TV. I was 6 years old. And ever since then, it's all been a big lie.
Yeah.
It's all been a big lie. And I feel that what they're teaching our kids, our 2 and 3 year old little impressionable kids, is a lie. And they're teaching them all this stuff. That's how I feel about it.
Hey, you got to come to Contact in the Desert in May and come to my talk, Everything is Fake, because I certainly talk about education being fake and, of course, the media being fake and all this stuff.
Well, it seems like they're starting the propaganda, you know, younger and younger and younger.
Yeah.
Let's go to, let's see, who's up next? The phone calls are completely jammed here. And I'm going to let everybody know, phone system went down. I am not controlling it tonight, Brad. Normally, I am in full control of the show. I have the Coast phone right here, and I get to hit the buttons. It's not working. So now I have a staff in front of me that is actually working, and all I have to do is sit here and talk to you. Yeah, how cool is that? So let's go east of the Rockies. Nick in Alberta, Canada. You're up next on Coast.
Good evening, Jimmy. Good evening, Brad.
Hi, Nick.
I don't know what to do about all this stuff. It's so far out of control. I'm not sure we can do anything other than end all the governments. But the CIA, when they first started, their first job was to take over the media, and they've obviously done that. But I think it was in the late 80s, early 90s, I'm not sure of his name, William Casey. I think he was the head of the CIA. His last name was Casey.
Yep.
He said, "We'll know that our agenda is complete when everything the American people believe is a lie."
Mm-hmm.
I think we're there now if we're, you know, we're there.
Well, Nick, let me ask you really quick before I hand this off to Brad. You're in Canada. You guys are supposed to have a cleaner news service up there. Are you saying that even in Canada, it's just coming at you from the wrong directions?
We are so far ahead of the United States, but you are catching up real fast. See, the American people were a little bit more educated, from what I can tell, and with the guns and whatnot. And they took them a little longer to, brainwash, I guess, everybody. But in Canada, we're the 1938 Jews. We'll get on the bus, no problem. If the government says get on the bus, we're there. And I remember about 30 years ago, and think about this, 30 years, how many kids have come out. If you had any kind of success, say you had a problem in school and you went to the teacher or the principal or something, as a parent, and you had a success story, they said to the parent, that the last thing they said to him was, "It doesn't matter. You're one person. We have the kids." And then they'd walk away.
Well, and again, Nick, let me ask you this. With the recent news of the last week, which you guys get up there in Canada, are you guys getting the same version of the news through the CBC that we're getting down here?
I have absolutely no idea. I haven't watched a Canadian news broadcast in probably 10 years. It is such garbage. If the government says it, it goes on the news. Anything else will never, ever make it to the news. And it hasn't for decades. Well, I've been watching the news since I was 10 years old, and it is such crap. I'm 56 now. I won't even go near it. I don't even have TV. It's just garbage.
Yeah, that's
like I said, we're the 1938 Jews, and we will get on the bus if the government said so. And because our guns have already been taken away, we have no way to defend ourselves. These people will do whatever they want. You know, property rights is something that's very interesting. Your rights are considered property. You don't own your home. You're the tenant. You don't own your car. The government owns it. All this stuff, they don't. You don't own anything. You don't own the clothes on your back, nothing. And they have these hate laws here, and they're coming down there, too. I've seen that. And the reason that they're able to control the, your speech is because the government owns everything, and that includes your rights.
Well, so I find that, Nick, let me jump in here really quick, because I got to ask Brad about this. And thank you for the phone call. Brad, when it comes to that, with your privacy and the way that things are handled in social media, you are giving away your rights once you post or do anything like that in the public domain now.
Well, that's right. And look at social media. It's owned by a private corporation started by Zuckerberg right here in Silicon Valley where I'm at. And yeah, if they don't like what you're saying, you get censored. You lose your page. You get booted off of Facebook for one day or 30 days. You know, Leo Leiden-Zagami, our author here at CCC Publishing, is about to go on live this morning with just talk about some things, geopolitical stuff. He didn't even say a single word. They not only knocked off his Facebook Live feed, but they gave him a 30-day suspension. He didn't even do anything. So, I mean, it is getting to that point now. They know who we are, and they'll flag us and take us down in an instant if they want to.
And one other point, when it comes to the news, it's one thing to watch it on TV. Is it easier to read the news and then just read the headline and pick and choose what you want to get disinfoed about?
Well, that's one way of doing it, Jimmy, and probably a good way, knowing that you're going to get disinfoed on whatever you look at. Yeah, I mean, what you see is just a fraction of what's going on. In this study of esoteric subjects, and I've talked about this with many, many people, our estimate is that 90% of the subjects that are really important to humanity are not being discussed, not being talked about. If it wasn't for the internet, which is like the new Gutenberg press, this freedom of speech that we've never had before, I think we'd be lost. It would be pretty much game over as far as information control.
Let's go to Wild Card 3. Ingrid in Tucson, Arizona. You're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hi. I'm enjoying listening to everybody, quite frankly. But I had a question about if you have any information. You know, John Kerry and some leaders went to the Antarctic, and they were just all over the news, and then nothing.
Yes, Ingrid, that's a really good point. And not only John Kerry, but Buzz Aldrin was down there. We've had some religious and Vatican people down in Antarctica recently. And that seems to be what everybody is interested in right now, Brad, is Antarctica. But we're not getting any news out of there. What's going on?
No, we're not. And Prince Harry was down there, and a lot of people, as your caller mentioned, John Kerry, the climate champion. Yeah, he went down there to look at penguins. Right. No, I have to go with Corey Good and David Wilcocker bringing out that they are going to make an announcement pretty soon that what they're finding down there could be the evidence for Atlantis,
But as I'll talk about in my workshop at Contact in the Desert, human origins are in the top 10 of everything is fake. What we think we know about ourselves is completely wrong. And I'm going to show some very rare slides of giants that have lived among us. And apparently they're pulling them out from Antarctica. So what they're calling it is Illuminati Disneyland. And only the elite can go down there and have a look at this stuff. And I think when the truth has finally come out, who knows how long that's going to take, we're going to find that a lot of what we thought we knew about ourselves is going to be completely turned upside its head.
When I was in Chicago, where I grew up when I was a kid.
Me too.
In the late 60s, early 70s, I heard these rumors. In elementary school, because we used to go to the Field Museum and the Museum of Science and Industry all the time, every year, right? Field trips. And there were these rumors going around our school that they had a 10-foot human skeleton at the Field Museum. And that was the rumor, you know, and I'm like 8 years old, 9 years old hearing these things, and it's pretty fascinating. And then I grow up as an adult, and I find out that that was actually true. They really did have, and they used to advertise it. Now the skeleton is gone.
Well, sure it is.
Right, right. but the point being, we don't know what is really true. And they actually had this on display. Now, I could be completely wrong. The story could be completely false. I don't know if it's Mandela effect or what. But that was certainly the rumor. And then I find out as an adult, you know, this is 40 years ago I heard this. And then I find out as an adult that this actually did occur. That is fascinating, and it just shows us everything that we know is wrong.
That's right, and human origins are totally upside down. I have a slide in my workshop that shows people in the 19th century going around looking at 10-foot skeletons. It was not that uncommon with these traveling shows to have some kind of human or skull or skeleton anomaly that they would show to people. And apparently people were much more open to that idea 100 years ago than they are today. But truth be what it is, this is who we are. And what I say in the setup to my workshop is just consider that this planet has been habitable for millions of years. And if we're talking about space visitors coming here, who's to say that they don't come in all shapes and sizes and, quite frankly, found this planet quite nice, maybe hung out for a while and died here?
That's right. That's right. And we just had a discovery that they're talking about right out here in the 20th century on Catalina Island, giants out of Catalina. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Gabriella, all the way out in Hawaii. Gabriella, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
I would like to hear an extensive program on the Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, we all want to know about that, Gabriella. What have you heard?
Well, that they're there, and that's basically all I've heard. But my main reason for calling is I would love to go to that conference where John Hogue is going to be and Mr. Felix. But I'm 63. I'm on SSI. I don't have the money. I'd have to board my cats, which are three of them. I don't have that money for air flight and all that. I'd like to go to one of these conferences just once before I die.
Well, where are you located?
She's in Hawaii. I would love to go to Hawaii once, too.
Why don't we do a conference out there, Jimmy?
Yeah, exactly. Gabrielle, I'll put you on hold and you can speak to Tom. Hang on. All right. You know, the phone system here, there it is. Okay, see, I don't have to hit the buttons anymore, Brad. We have time for one more phone call. Let's go out east, wild card, Richard in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Richard, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, guys. How are y'all tonight?
We're doing good, Richard. What have you got for Brad?
Well, I heard him say something a little while ago that just, I don't know, I'm trying to catch up with you guys. I've been listening to the program for quite a while now, and Brad mentioned something about the spraying and stuff and the law that was passed that makes things legal. He, at the end of that, said something about depopulation. I was wondering if that was part of the legal He did say we could, they could do anything they wanted to. I'd just like to confirm that. It kind of blew me away.
Yep, sure. I just pulled it up. It's called Public Law 105-85, allows testing of biological weapons on civilian population. That means you and me. A biological agent is defined as a microorganism, including bacteria, viruses, fungi, rickettsiae, or protozoa, pathogen or infectious substance, and any naturally occurring bioengineered or synthetic component of any such microorganism, pathogen, infective substance, whatever its origin or method or production, that is capable of causing one, death, disease, or other biological malfunction in a human or animal or plant; two, deterioration of food, water, equipment, supplies, or materials of any kind; and three, deleterious alteration of the environment. So these chemtrails and whatever else they decide to dump on us is perfectly legal according to U.S. law.
There you go. Thank you, Richard, for the phone call. And that is pretty scary. And the NDAA, for anybody else that wants to question that, just go and look, NDAA 2012, where it seriously says and uses the words that it's okay to lie to us, yeah, and that it will not be against the law. I don't know where this started or this frame of mind for. It used to be freedom of the press, and now it's lack of freedom for the press. It's the exact opposite, and I don't know how we got here, Brad, but we've got to change things.
Well, I'll tell you how we got here. It changed under Reagan, actually, who basically said that you didn't have to always tell the truth. They passed a law in the 1930s that said you did. He reversed it somewhat, and then it got more so in 2012. So it's just kind of getting worse and more watered down to the point where everything they do is legal, everything they do is fake, and it's up to us to separate the wheat from the chaff.
It's up to us and people like you to tell us about it. I want to thank you, Brad, for coming on tonight. An absolute excellent conversation. The links for Brad and CCC Publishing are over at Coast to Coast AM. Click on it and do go check out Brad and his presentations at Contact in the Desert coming up next month in May. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. Open lines are next. Stay with us.